This is 12:33, ABC Newcastle. You're with Lindy Burns on this Thursday. Hope you're having a good day. I have to say that I reckon there's nothing better than moving your body. This will be a couple of other things, but you know, moving things is fantastic, isn't it? Feeling the way that various parts work together to bring about some action. Stretching, walking, running, if you still can, if your Achilles haven't packed up like mine, rolling around, catching, crouching, skipping, they're all good. But unfortunately, fewer of us are doing them. In short, we're a sedentary bunch these days, aren't we? But that could be helped if parents were more aware of the importance of movement, music and play, particularly during the first 3 years of a baby's life. That could set up patterns and physical development that they will carry with them into later life. Trouble is, where do we start? What's safe to do with your kids at which age? How do you motivate your kids to move around and go and do things? Are there some tricks of the trade, perhaps, that help make the whole experience worthwhile and easy to get going? Well, I found out that there are, and most of them are in a terrific book. It's called Moving to Learn, a how-to book, if you like, to help get your kids and you moving from their birth. One of the authors is Robin Crowe, who's also responsible for the wonderfully helpful drawings within it. And happily, she's our guest this morning from Melbourne. Robin, it's great to have you with us.
Hi, Lindy. Thank you.
Congratulations on what you've done. And before I talk about what's actually in it, the fact you put it into a ring binding kind of situation is so clever, because you can open the page and you can sit it there and it will stay open while you do the actual exercise.
Yes. Yeah, we wanted it to be a working manual that you could just have sitting on the coffee table.
Yep.
And working at it whenever you felt like it was always open.
Why is it so important that kids move around and explore their bodies at such a young age?
Well, it actually develops the brain patterning within the brain. Things like crawling, cross-patterning activities that occur through that, running, climbing, all help with brain development, which in turn leads to easier learning with reading and writing and application to school.
So you've actually seen evidence of that in your teaching years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and we found that, you know, there were programs within the schools that were helping this kind of thing, like the Perceptual Motor Program, or PMP as it's known, but it needs to start a little bit earlier before they get there. And research has found that within those first few foundation years of a child's life is when a lot of that brain patterning occurs. So we thought, well, why don't we start going right back to the very start and giving parents a little bit of assistance as well, because we don't know as a parent why these things are important.
Well, the other thing, you don't know what to do. I was looking at some of the drawings and some of the explanations of what you do, and I'm going, oh, I'd be frightened to do that. But obviously it's okay. I mean, you're not doing anything rash, but just putting a child down and getting them to roll from side to side.
And it's all through play.
Yeah, it is through play and through songs and music. I mean, there's a CD that goes with it, with the songs upon it, so you can play those while you're actually doing the activities. And I'd imagine that's as helpful for the parent as it is for the kids to hear that the parent then can sing along without having to make those songs up themselves.
Yeah. And we were really, really keen to put the music side of it in, because, like, movement ties up so much with music and movement and music. You're singing, you feel like you want to dance. But it's also language development. It's also developing concepts of high and low. And it's enhancing the rhythm. And there's rhythm in everything we do, like walking, eating, reading requires rhythm.
Yep.
So if you can enhance it through play, and it's all hidden without the kids realizing, or the parents even realizing that this is what's happening and occurring, it's all fun and play and together time, which is really important.
It is nice. But even though, because when I was playing some of the ones for kids when they were, you know, even at birth or just a few weeks after they get home, I was thinking, these kids don't understand these words. I mean, you're being very specific about what you're singing about, but I thought they can't understand that, but that doesn't matter?
No, it's the familiarity of the words. It's the parent touching the child, you know, here are your arms, and they're touching their arms, they're identifying that these parts of their body are arms, like they may not comprehend it at the time, but it's the continual language and it's the continual touching and the continuing body awareness that's so important.
You've got three kids of your own, haven't you?
I have.
Did you do this with them?
I did, particularly with my third child, because I was so much more aware of it then.
Yep.
As a new young mum with my two boys, I had them fairly close together and it was fairly tiring. And both the boys were really, really big, burly, go for it, get into it kind of kids. And my second son particularly missed the crawling stage. I think he crawled for about 3 seconds. And he was up and walking, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is great, you know, in my ignorance. And when he got to school, he actually had a lot of trouble reading. He didn't actually understand reading until about grade two and had a lot of trouble with it. And he was a little bit uncoordinated as well. So I thought, hello, there's something happening here. And looked into it, and we spent a lot of time doing lots of fun things with him. And now he's playing elite sport. He's a prolific reader and doing really well.
So. Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah.
So you've got it at first-hand experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, too, being a teacher involved, I'm now in a preschool area,
yep.
seeing kids coming into preschools without a lot of the basic foundation skills. We've got little ones that have to have support from a railing or your hand while they walk up and down stairs. So there's no lower body strength.
Yeah, to actually hold themselves to get up and down a stair.
Yeah,
wow.
They can't support themselves hanging from bars.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't developed the upper body strength. And all that climbing and hanging and swinging develops a fine motor coordination.
Mm.
Which then leads to being able to hold a pencil, being able to control that pencil for writing.
See, it's something that you and I took completely for granted. I just took completely for granted the fact that
Absolutely.
I was out there, you know, running away from my parents
Absolutely.
Usually,
yeah.
but then hanging from something and crawling here and then, of course, when it came time to hold a pencil or walk up and down some stairs, there wasn't an issue.
Yeah. I think, too, there's so much technology out there now with so many other things that we didn't have in our childhood.
No.
And it's leading to children sitting down in front of screens or TVs and not getting out there as much. So there's not much more stimulation for them.
Yes.
Whereas in our day, it was all the basics. And I think a lot of that's disappearing now.
It is too. And when there's so much more choice, it's so much harder for them to say, well, hang on a second, this is more fun. For us, fun was going outside.
Yes, absolutely.
It's interesting you talk about the fact, though, that if you start with your kids at such a young age, at birth pretty much, that then it's not seen as a difficult thing for them to when it comes time to when they're 4 or 5 or at school, because they've been doing it pretty their whole lives,
yeah.
so it's not a dramatic a change.
Yeah. I think too that when you're confident with how your body moves and you're confident with the choices you can make and the challenges that you're confronting then become easy.
Yeah.
And self-esteem is the whole basis of everything. It's the basis of all our living. If you feel good about yourself and what you do, you're going to then be much more comfortable making choices and approaching challenges that are thrown at us throughout our life.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think too that also it's such a complex thing. If it goes back to we're sorting these things out when children are really young and giving them that self-esteem and self-confidence, we may not have all those teenage problems later on when we're seeking other people's approval without feeling comfortable about
within ourselves. That's a really good point. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And something else too that we were really keen to help parents with was I know from first-hand experience as well, going from a 2-wage family to a 1-wage family because I chose to be at home.
Yeah.
And obviously the financial side dropped dramatically, that I felt guilty. I couldn't go out and provide my children with all these wonderful things that are out there being provided because I couldn't afford it. And we're showing you that you don't have to do that. You can do it at home with a lot of things that you have at home.
Oh, exactly. And I'll get to in just a moment the things you can do in your garden, when you're going shopping. I mean, just doing your everyday things.
Absolutely.
Then you can just make them into a bit of play without a great deal of effort and without a great deal of imagination, because a lot of the ideas are already here, which
yeah.
is good to see. I'm speaking with Robin Crow. She's one of the authors of Moving to Learn, Making the Connection Between Movement, Music, Learning and Play, just helping you make the most of your child's very early years, from birth until about 3 or 4 years old. This is 1233 ABC Newcastle. You're with Lindy Burns. Robin, I want to go through just some of the various ages just to give people a bit of an understanding of the sort of things that you and Gill, is it, or Jill? Jill go through, Jill Connell, your co-author, go through in the book. You mentioned just a little earlier the song Here in My Arms for the birth. I just want to give people an idea of what the CD that accompanies it, what it actually sounds like.
Here are your arms, and here are your feet. Here are my fingers walking down the street. Here are your arms, and here are your feet.
And so on and so forth, and you keep doing it. But you've got the child basically in your arms when you're doing that, don't you?
Yep. Yeah, or changing their nappy, and it's like a few second song, like it's really short, so that it can be done. I mean, it's so easy to learn too once you've heard it a couple of times.
Yes.
You can do it while you're changing your nappy or while you're playing on the floor or getting them dressed, and it's just a by the wayside song. Do you know what I mean? Like you can just sing it as you're doing all these kind of things.
Yeah.
And that learning's occurring then just by this simple, fun thing that you're doing for a couple of seconds. And that's a really, really simple song that's more aimed at the babies.
Yeah.
As the CD goes further through, we get a little bit more complicated and they become jazzy, and we've got sort of a South American feel in some and kind of a rocky feel in others. And a lot of parents really love them, and we've had such great feedback from them so far because they feel they're bopping away with their children, and they think, I can't get that damn song out of my head.
I'm just about to say exactly the same thing. I'm going, here are your arms.
And I think that's sensational.
Isn't it? But you could do that with all sorts of pieces of their body. You know, here is your nose.
Absolutely.
You know, and here are your fingers or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think the thing is too, sorry. I think the thing is that it will then stimulate your thinking.
You know,
as you said, oh, and I could take it too, and I could do, and I could extend it to, so then that's stimulating our thinking as well.
I want to do the chant one. What age group is that chant? My favourite toy, where your child, because by this stage your child is obviously being able to walk around and make a small shape on the body on the floor.
Yeah.
So what sort of age are we talking about there?
It can be from when they're walking and they have that awareness that they can make these body shapes. And those body shapes are really great for spatial awareness.
Yeah.
You know, I can go under this, I can make a small shape, I can stretch out really wide. And we put a lot of chants in as well because chants have a rhythm, like a da-da-da-da-da-da-da, when you're saying it. And once again, that's teaching rhythm of language.
Okay. Well, it goes something like this.
My favourite toy is the jack-in-the-box. He gives me quite a fright. When he jumps up high and wobbles about, we all scream with delight.
Doesn't it make you feel happy?
A bit of fun, yeah. It's actually my daughter.
Is it?
Laughing. We taped her laughing, and we've got lots of little laughters throughout it. A child's laughing, so it was a bit of a family affair.
Yeah, that's really nice. The fact, and I wonder, how old is she now, your daughter?
She's six.
So she would hear herself on the and
she
go,
loves it. Yeah.
I'm a star.
Yeah,
I'm an absolute star.
The recording studio and was part of it, so... And I tested all the songs out on her, and as she was growing up, she was actually, I've written quite a few lullabies that are aimed, you know, like I was cuddling her, trying to get her to sleep, and the thoughts would just come into my head, and I'd jot them down while I was cuddling her.
Yep.
And so a lot of the songs are written specifically for her.
Isn't that gorgeous? But they translate beautifully.
Yes, oh, lovely.
The good thing, too, you have things like novelty activities where you've got... storybooks, which you can use in birth, a song bag, which I love the idea of a song bag, or a song book, or a song box.
Yep.
Were they things that you came up with yourself?
Yes, and because I've worked for many, many years teaching movement and music anyway and working with parents, they're just things that have come up and cropped up.
Yep.
But, yeah, just a novelty way of presenting it rather than, you know, just singing songs and listening to CDs.
Yes.
You're placing fun objects like a plastic sheep or a picture of something inside the bag, and the children select all these objects and then, oh, do we know a song about a sheep? Yes, we do, or our body or whatever. And it just stimulates the thinking as well, and it's allowing children to make their choices, and you know, they're choosing the song, they're remembering the song that they know about it.
Yeah.
Sing it together. So.
It's really good. I love too the making the sounds in the environment one where, you know, kids are getting out and they can make a snap when they break different sized twigs, be it a tree trunk with a stick.
Yeah.
I like the way too you've got tie string to a number of plastic plates or pot plants containers and suspend them from a tree branch. And then of course they're going to make a different sound and they can almost make an instrument.
Yeah.
Out of it, but not just that sort of thing. When the sound that you make when you rake the leaves, if you drag a branch along the footpath,
yep.
Really, really interesting things. And making little musical instruments. You've got some suggestions here.
Yep, and you don't have to have a big budget.
No,
to be able to
not at all.
Make it home.
Not at all.
And there are things that can be done while you're out in the garden or you're walking, going down to the milk bar.
Yep.
And you're walking along, dragging a stick behind you, and you make different sounds when you move it different ways and. It's all a learning, it's all, but it's also chatting together too from the parents' point of view. and the child.
Yes, yes, yes. But you do things like nutrition and learning, language at home, developing self-esteem, positive gestures, using various funny things to put on your plate when you're doing your food, getting your kids to eat by making a Sally salad face or a Roger Rocket or something along those sorts of lines.
Yeah.
So it's using that imagination. And I reckon, I mean, I'm not particularly imaginative like this, but looking through that, as I said to you, I was going, oh, yeah, and you could do that, and you could do this. So it's getting that impetus at the beginning.
It's starting your thinking
and
get, because everyone's creative. They've just got to allow themselves to be. And I think, you know, if you can get something that will help you stimulate that and you're chatting to someone about it, and they'll go, oh, yes, well, we did.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an awareness. And nature and our environment is one of the best learning environments that we could have.
And the great thing about it too is that it's promoting your own imagination, so you're getting something out of it too.
Yes.
I love that. I'm going to finish up with Shake It.
Oh, that's one of our favourites.
Is it?
It
should
is.
Be.
Yeah.
So I love that. It's basically a body awareness song, but they could use any of the instruments that we were talking about to accompany the song. If you have a shaker, some bells or plastic plate shaker. So I'm going to finish up with that, Robin, but thank you very much for talking to us.
My pleasure.
And a terrific thing that you and Jill have put together. In conjunction with, who was your co-songstress?
Kate Ann Ratty.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's her name.
Yeah, she's very clever. We'd sort of create our concepts with the music and sing it with very out of tune voices into her tape, and then we'd hand it to her and she'd make sense of it, and she did a wonderful job.
She did. It makes you feel like you want to sing along.
I know.
Good on you, Robin. I'll give the details of where people can get the book in just a moment, but let's finish up with Shake It.
Shake them over here, shake them all around without care. Shake them over here.